brought to you by Penguin.
Sunfall by Jim Al-Khalili. Read by Rupert Farley.
Prologue. 40,000 BC. Neander Valley, east of modern-day Dusseldorf, Germany. He'd been staring out at the raging storm for days, hungrier than he could ever remember. The limestone cave was still warm, thanks to the fire he had started as soon as he'd regained enough strength to collect wood. The flames were weaker now, and his stockpile had run out. His skills with fire had always been a source of great pride, both for him and his mate. Now his cave, his sanctuary, was also his prison. He knew with a deep and intuitive certainty that he was the last of his kind. It made him sad and angry. He stood at the cave entrance, his furs wrapped tightly around his shoulders, and screamed in defiant rage at the world outside, as though he could drown out the howling wind. During the night of the last full moon, his mate had been angry that he was too sick to go out with the other hunters to find food, so she had gone instead. She hadn't come back. When he had eventually grown strong enough to leave the cave, he'd gone looking for her. He hadn't found her, but had instead stumbled across the bodies of several others of his tribe, not just the hunters, but their mates and a few of the young. They'd been half buried in the snow where the gorge opened into the wide river valley, and he'd puzzled over what had befallen them. Many of his people had already died, either from hunger or cold during the previous harsh winter, their already low numbers dwindling steadily as the winters became worse and powerful storms ravaged the landscape. They'd found it difficult to adapt. Familiar plants and animals had disappeared, and food supplies had become even scarcer. None of the bodies he'd found showed any obvious signs of injury from attack by rival groups or wild animals, and he attributed their red and blistered skin to frostbite, but was confused about why they had stayed out long enough to freeze to death when they were so close to the shelter of their caves. Overcome with grief, he'd struggled back to his cave. He'd wanted to bury and mourn them properly, but knew that he would have to wait until his strength returned. His priority had been to find food, and he'd been lucky to come across a skinny young deer lying dead against the base of a tree. He was so hungry and exhausted, he didn't stop to question whether its death was related to those of his people. He'd carried the carcass back to his cave, high above the valley floor, where he cooked it over the fire, and ate until he was fit to burst. Now, 4 days later, with the carcass clean to the bone, he used its hollowed-out skull to cook what little quantity of root vegetables and grasses he'd been able to find before the storm set in. But his hunger was back again. 2 weeks later, with the storm showing no signs of abating, he too would die, but of starvation rather than the fatal radiation exposure from the powerful coronal mass ejection that had taken the lives of the rest of his tribe, the shelter of his cave offering him the cruel protection that had pointlessly prolonged his life. He died oblivious to how special he would become. Many millennia later, when his remains were found, no one would know that he had indeed been the last of his kind to survive in northern Eurasia. And yet, by one of those rare twists of fate, he was also the first of his kind to be identified by the Homo sapien scholars who studied his bones. They named him Fellhofer I, or Neanderthal I, and many of them would ponder what had caused so many of his species to disappear so suddenly. Part 1. Magnetosphere.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?